and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of January 13th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and award-seasoned out already, Melissa Hansen.
Yeah, I already am, man. We had like one big one. I'm done with them.
Yeah.
That was enough for me.
It's just the first one of many.
Ugh.
Yeah. How did it go? Because I did not watch it at all. The Golden
Globes.
Yes,
I watched the Golden Globes last night, and it was, you know, Amy and Tina were funny.
Yeah.
They were a little cutting and biting.
Really?
Not so nice. Mm. But it was an award show.
Yeah.
American Hustle won a bunch, and I was not impressed with that one.
Yeah, I know.
So, 12 Years a Slave finally won. It won, you know, best drama movie.
Okay.
But it didn't win anything else. Which had, obviously, in the Twitterverse, had some people unhappy.
Okay.
With that. Let's see. Yeah, American Hustle won, Breaking Bad won. Dallas Buyers Club won. Let's see. So, yeah, like Jared Leto won, McConaughey won. And then for Behind the Candelabra, Michael Douglas won.
Oh. Was that last year or was that this year?
But it wasn't Golden. It must have been timing.
Oh, all right.
With it.
Okay.
He won other awards for it, but. I don't know. So, but there was some talk about, especially, you know, like Jared Leto.
Yeah.
He made jokes about his body, how he had to wax his body, and, like, that was really his butt.
Oh, boy.
And stuff like that, which was, like, kind of funny. But also, especially with that one, I mean, this is a movie about the AIDS crisis.
Right.
And, like, people didn't mention this.
Mm-mm.
There was no, like, Jodie Foster standing up their moment.
Yeah.
Like, talking about the character and talking about the movie that had this message. It was, like, light and funny, which the Golden Globes is more, but there were times to, like, make some statements, and nobody did there.
Yeah.
And, of course, well, the statement that was made, not verbally, but Woody Allen won.
Oh, like, for Blue Jasmine. Okay.
Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Oh, okay.
So he won the big Cecil B. DeMille, which is like the big kind of just lifetime
achievement. But he never shows up to these ceremonies.
He didn't show up.
Okay.
So Diane Keaton did.
Oh.
His acceptance.
All right.
And she was Diane Keaton. She babbled. And she sang like a Girl Scout song.
Oh, no.
And my joke was, what is she, like his Pied Piper, like getting all the little Girl Scouts to follow her back to him? And that was the thing. So Ronan Farrow. His son, even though there's some question lately if he's his biological child or not. But anyhow, his son raised by him with Mia Farrow missed the Woody Allen tribute. Did they put the part where a woman publicly confirmed he molested her at age 7 before or after Annie Hall?
Oh, shit.
And Mia Farrow's tweet was, time to go get some ice cream and switch over to girls.
Oh, no.
Because, of course, this isn't acknowledged in it. And doesn't matter. This is for his work.
Right.
Where can you separate the man from his work?
Right. Exactly. And let's not mince words here. The guy is an amazing director and has created some films that are going to last for generations.
Yes. And it looks like he's also molested his daughter.
Yes. Well, and this is what I'm saying.
Where do we go with that?
Yeah.
And do we mention that?
I don't know.
And obviously they didn't. And this, but do we award people?
Yeah.
Like, who do unethical, immoral, illegal things?
I don't know. I try and stay out of these types of arguments because it's a no-win proposition. You're not going to change anybody's mind. And there's going to be arguments on both sides, whether you appreciate the art for what it is, or do you taint the art because of who the person was that created it?
Yeah. So anyhow, that was kind of one of the big controversies of the evening.
All right.
Was Woody being awarded.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was typical. Everybody seemed fairly drunk.
All right. Now, the Hollywood Foreign Press is known for going outside the kind of general consensus of what things should be awarded and picking things that nobody expected. Did that happen at all?
I don't know. Well, I think some people were concern, whatever, were upset that 12 Years a Slave didn't get more. But what I thought was a little bit out was Andy Samberg in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He won for Best Comedic Actor TV.
Wow.
And it won Best Comedy.
And that's just a network comedy in the vein of like Reno 911, right?
It's along those lines, not so over the top.
Okay.
No, not that far.
All right.
It's a workplace comedy. It's right. Chicago or New York cops.
Yeah.
And it's Andy Samberg plays this really great detective, but he's Andy Samberg.
Okay.
So he doesn't really want to follow the rules and stuff like that. And then it's, you know, all the other detectives. It's a bit of a cast of characters. And Andrew Brower plays their boss.
Oh.
And he's just this amazing straight man. He, like, his facial expression doesn't change an inch. But this great thing is he plays a gay cop.
Oh, really?
The character's gay. And it's not played for, like, funny laughs because he's not this, like, typical sitcom
gay guy. All right.
You know, and they do this whole thing. Like, the first episode, he comes in and takes over, and the not cop, I don't know what her title is, like, assistant.
Okay.
You know, but she's like, do you guys think he's gay? Are you getting a gay vibe? And they're like, what? And then there's this article about, you know, New York gay cop, like, over his desk
the whole episode.
He's like, it says it right there. Anyhow, I really like the show, and it was nice to see it get some love.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think that's probably the biggest more surprise. Talking.
Okay.
So, anyhow.
All right. Well, go ahead. I was going to ask if you had any other entertainment stuff going on this past week.
I saw The Wolverine.
Oh, what'd you think?
Finally. I liked it.
Yeah?
It was solid. It wasn't great.
All right.
Solid B. I mean, it's just fun to watch you do that character.
Yeah.
And for me, it's not a storyline I know.
Yeah.
When they did, it was set in Japan. It's the flashback to World War II, where he was there fighting.
This is an adaptation of the classic Frank Miller story.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. This is one, like, and it's a Silver Samurai.
Yeah, they've updated it to modern times, but it was set in feudal Japan. And it at that point in time, which would have been mid-80s, late-80s.
Okay.
It was very revealing for this character who had been shrouded in so much mystery. It added a lot of backstory to who he was and made him the character that everybody knows today.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know. It was good if you like it. It wasn't, you know, there were some amazing sequences. You know, there was some kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, for that type of movie, it was good.
Yeah. And you will see that character again very quickly because of Bryan Singer's X-Men's Days of Future Past is coming out this summer.
Yeah, and there is and the whole stick through the credits, even on the DVD.
There's a tag. Okay.
You get
All right.
For the next X-Men one.
Well, we know. Marvel is very good at doing those sorts of things.
Yep. So it's there. So yeah, make sure if you're watching it on DVD, because we got it from Redbox.
Okay.
It's in Redbox at the moment. Yeah, stick it through our fast forward through the credits and make sure you watch that.
Yeah, I did not have much in the way of entertainment this week. I did wind up landing a role in August, Osage County here. The role originated by Rick Snyder at Steppenwolf.
So cool.
And Dermot Mulroney played it in a reduced capacity in the movie. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But I had a friend of mine, Todd, lend me Doctor Who, The Key to Time, which was one of Tom Baker's, probably in the middle of his run. It was an entire season arc. So I'm kind of chain smoking my way through that right now, which is so great. And I'm looking at the way Tom Baker plays the Doctor, and I'm thinking, there's a lot of Jeff Goldblum that I see. You know, Jeff's quirkiness?
Ah, yeah.
So if they ever do an American Doctor, I think it would be interesting to see Jeff take on that role.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Kind of his Jurassic Park Malcolm character.
Yeah, or the cop show that we saw, that short-lived run that he did, The Cop in Venice.
God, yeah, it was like his name. It was like a one-word.
Yeah.
It was like a half a season kind of thing.
Yeah.
He saw Ghost.
But it's very cerebral. It's very quirky. It's, you know, it's just Jeff. I mean, he has this very unique way to portray it. And he did that on Law & Order, too. So, it's just him. Anyways, box office this week, not a lot of people went to the movies. And then what they did, they only went to see one or two films.
Yeah, so Lone Survivor, no shock.
Yeah.
Women first with 38.5 million.
Yeah.
And then we jumped down to Frozen, 15 million.
Would you consider Mark Wahlberg one of the A-list actors?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's no Clooney, but he's pretty close.
But he's working a lot.
Yeah, he works a lot. I think he's definitely just in and of himself a draw.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe not quite like an A-.
Yeah. And he's fronting the new Transformers movie this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think he is a full-out movie star. Probably more of an action star.
Yeah.
But, he's a movie star. Mm. I'd give him that title.
Yeah.
Let's see. So then third, Wolf of Wall Street, 9 million.
Not very impressive there.
Dropped pretty quick.
Yep.
Legend of Hercules, 8.6 million.
I saw the trailer for this. There was nothing that interested me at all.
Yeah, and American Hustle, same, 8.6.
Yep.
So that's your top, yeah. That stuff dropped pretty quick.
Very quiet. I wouldn't say, with football going on right now in the playoffs, I'm not surprised, but we'll see. Next week, we've got Chris Pine rebooting the Jack Ryan franchise. With Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. So we went from what? It was Alec Baldwin to Ben Affleck, and now Chris Pine, or was there somebody else in between there? Oh, no.
Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was
so Alec Baldwin,
one.
Harrison Ford, then Ben Affleck.
Then Ben Affleck doing, like,
Geeks did one.
The prequel-y stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this is even more prequel.
Okay.
So... Yeah, they couldn't keep going. They couldn't make him 80 years old. They're going back and making him, back in his 20s kind of thing. So,
We've got Ice Cube and Kevin Hart in the buddy cop comedy Ride Along.
That looks horribly bad, but funny.
Kevin Hart is everywhere these days. I mean, I guess strike while the iron's hot, but... You've got the horror thriller called Devil's Due about a couple that goes away on their honeymoon, and when they come back, the wife has been impregnated by Satan.
Oh, well. There you go.
And then you've got the animated comedy for the family, Nut Job, about a squirrel lost in the big city, with an all-star cast fronted by Will Arnett.
Nice.
So it'll probably make a bunch of money, but be... terrible in the process.
Oh, well.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, you've got Vin Diesel and Riddick. You've got Forrest Whitaker and the Oprah and Lee Daniels, the butler.
Mm-hmm.
The remake of Carrie with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think Mac said on the filibuster that it was pretty much the same exact movie, just with different people.
Okay. That's slightly pointless.
Uh-huh. You've got the Michael B. Jordan movie Fruitvale Station, and the horror thriller You're Next, which everybody on the staff wanted to review this week.
Okay.
I don't know why, but yeah. If you are going to Redbox, like Melissa does, Despicable Me 2, Fast and Furious 6, the romantic sex comedy Thanks for Sharing, it's about sex addicts, and the sci-fi thriller Europa Report. All new on Redbox this week. Over at Netflix, Arnold Schwarzenegger returns in The Last Stand. I know Dave Johnson has listed this as one of his sleeper hits of 2013. No, it was Patrick. Patrick Bromley talked about this on their underrated special for F, this movie.
Okay.
I wasn't overwhelmed by it. It was nice to see Arnold back, but Johnny Knoxville kind of grates on me.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the, what did I call this? The Witch Punk, or I forget what I forgot how I labeled this. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters with Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton.
Oh, yeah.
A hell of a lot of fun. I know Eric Osbershner was touting this, too. It's just turn your brain off, dumb fun.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino, Sam Raimi type of. Lots of blood and guts and just
absolutely. Maybe I'll watch it then.
Yeah. And what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name?
Who's in it?
Yeah, from Nip Tuck. She plays the bad guy.
Famke Johnson.
Famke Johnson is
from The Wolverine.
From The Wolverine. Yes. She is over the top in this movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Also on Netflix this week, Matt Damon and The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh.
Weren't they going to make more of these films?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of books, but yeah, it just
didn't go anywhere.
Didn't go anywhere.
It's just too bad because it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And then you've got Tim Robbins in the mindfuck thriller Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, that's a, yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah. Over at Hulu, we've got two interesting documentaries. One is about film critics called For the Love of Movies, which gets to interview Roger Ebert before he had all of his cancer problems, before he lost his ability to speak. Mm-hmm. You've got another documentary called Nightfall that looks back on 100 years of vampire movies. Don Cheadle and Guy Pearce in the thriller Traitor. And then there's... I don't know how this happens. Old comics keep making movies that go to direct to DVD or now direct to streaming. Chris Kattan and Pauly Shore both have new movies out this week.
Wow.
They look terrible.
Okay, then.
And that's your lineup for streaming media.
All right. Well, TV this week. On Monday, Archer, this new season is back. Yeah. Along with Chosen, a new show. It's animated about like a fat white like gay rapper or something. I don't know.
What?
Not my thing. Okay. Anyhow, Wednesday, Suburgatory is finally back.
Oh, I forgot about that show.
They had to do a little changing on that one because Melon Ackerman had a recurring role, but she's on Trophy Wife now.
Oh.
So this is not supposed to be the best episode because they had to like kind of get some people back together and whatever.
All right.
But it's a good show overall.
All right.
That's back on ABC. And then American Idol on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And freaking Dark Dynasty.
Ugh.
New episodes on A&E, whatever. Thursday, Critics' Choice Movie Awards.
Oh, God.
You didn't get enough of the Golden Globes. That's on the CW. Saturday, for some bizarre reason, ABC is showing Will Smith's Hancock, the movie.
What? It was interesting, but it's not anything right. Is a network I would buy to showcase to people.
Sure. So, but all of you that ain't watching that will be over at Lifetime watching the remake of Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, God. They've already greenlit a sequel.
Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, Sunday, ABC is the finale of Betrayal. The Following is back on Fox. NBC is showing Bridesmaids. How much editing are you going to have to do on that one?
Oh, my God.
That thing's going to be half hour long.
Yeah.
Anyhow, and then HBO's new series, Looking, which is Jonathan Groff.
Oh, God.
Was on Glee and Broadway and whatever. That's his. And then Sherlock, Series 3, Masterpiece Mystery on PBS. Woo!
Yeah. Now, everybody I know has already watched.
Right.
Not pirated. They've found, you know, torrent sites or streaming sites where they've...
It aired
in England.
Yeah, it already aired there. But the official airing.
Yeah, but there's been nothing but great things to say that this is the best season so far.
That's amazing, because the last two were pretty damn good.
Yep.
All right. Music this week. High Hopes, Bruce Springsteen is out. And that actually comes with, like, a DVD of stuff, too.
So we know what Pat Nagle will be listening to for the rest of his...
Yes. Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland has a solo called That Girl. And then Ms. Mary Chapin Carpenter has kind of a funky one. It's called Songs from the Movie, but it's not actually from any specific movie. Oh. It's orchestra doing kind of her classic compositions.
Huh.
So it's just a little funky stuff for... Mary Chapin Carpenter fans.
Okay.
And then we have Kidz Bop number frickin' 25.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Okay. A better 25. We have 25th anniversary special reissue, which makes me feel so old, but of Lucinda Williams' self-titled album.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Books this week. This one's with Emily Raymond and James Patterson.
Oh, God.
First Love. It's one of his books I hate. Like I say, I like his Alex Cross stuff and some of his other thrillery things, but not these. Anyhow, Wooden, A Coach's Life. It's by Seth Davis, but it's about UCLA coach John Wooden.
Okay.
Legendary coach. I don't know. Whatever. Duty Memoirs of a Secretary at War. By Robert M. Glass, the former Secretary of Defense.
Oh.
That is out. And then this really cool looking Josephine, The Dazzling Life of Josephine Baker. But it's got all these really neat illustrations with it. It's written by Patricia Powell, and the illustrator is Christian Robinson. Hmm. And then Doctor Who, Prisoners of Time, the complete series. So it's all 12 issues in one big old nice hardcover.
Okay.
Yep. And then New York Theater. It's off-Broadway at the Electra Theater. It's officially opening March 12th, but performances are beginning February 21st. It's 50 Shades, the musical, the original parody.
No.
Believe it or not, there's numerous parodies of 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, well, yeah.
Out there. So, anyhow, those, if you are either a fan or a hater of the books, you may enjoy this one.
All right. Well, we talked about the Golden Globes. More rumors coming out of Hollywood right now indicate that J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan are shifting the focus for Star Wars Episode 7 to serve as a passing of the torch from the original trilogy to a new cast of Next Generation characters. With what may seem, what is shaping up to be an all-star cast.
Okay.
And I think this is a brilliant move. If you're going to reboot the franchise, you might as well go back to what worked first and tell us what happened to, you know, to Luke and Leia and Han. And I think it's really smart. And then if you're going to introduce their kids and take them on and see how that goes, that's great. But give the fans at least something after living through all of that bullshit with Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen.
Yes.
Frightening if true, but reports have Sylvester Stallone courting Justin Bieber for a role in Expendables 4.
Nice. Do they get to kill him?
That would be awesome.
If he gets, like, just slaughtered for the whole movie.
The new movie is coming out, Expendables 3, in theaters this summer.
We'll have to see, because his little butt may be in jail.
Why?
He may have finally done something they can bust him for.
Uh-oh.
He egged the hell out of his neighbor's house.
Oh, no.
Well, his neighbor has him on video doing it.
So
and it's $40,000 worth of damage because it's like a special stucco that's now ruined. So this is a felony.
So this is different than Ozzy Osbourne tossing a ham onto his neighbor's front lawn.
Well, Ozzy never did that. That was Sharon.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is, so he may actually, because he does, he pulls shit like this all the time. He's a nasty little boy. But he's a terror in his neighborhood, but it's all this stuff they can't bust him for.
Wow.
He keeps getting off the hook. Well, he may actually be on the hook with this one. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Mm.
But hopefully that little boy will get a good spanking.
I'm sure they'll love him if he gets put in jail. Quentin Tarantino's next film will be another Western in the vein of The Magnificent Seven and called The Hateful Eight. And, of course, he's going after some of his favorite actors, Christoph Waltz and Bruce Dern, for leading roles. The next wave of summer blockbusters is going into production this spring with Fantastic Four, Terminator Genesis, and Jurassic World all start shooting in the next few months, despite the fact that they haven't completely cast these movies yet.
Oh, whatever. Who cares who's in it? People will go see them.
The one story that really blew me away this week is Chicago's own media conglomerate, WGN, which we knew as the local television station growing up, but has now grown into a monopoly.
Yeah, it's on all the cable stuff.
Yeah, it's now called WGN America.
Yeah.
But they're partnering with Bob and Harvey Weinstein to remake The Ten Commandments as a 10-part anthology series, each with its own director.
Nice.
But get the lineup of directors that are going to be involved in this.
Okay.
Lee Daniels, Wes Craven.
Oh my God.
And Michael Cera.
Nice.
Like, what is
going
on? It's going
to be crazy. Wow.
So,
that will be interesting to see how that turns out.
Well, and it is an interesting shift because we are seeing more and more networks getting into their own scripted series. It used to be that a network would buy from Hollywood studios and then they would show it on their channel. Well, now with HBO doing so well and Cinemax doing their own original series, Showtime has Dexter, FX, you know, even A&E now doing their own stuff like the Bonnie and Clyde or whatever it was. I guess WGN says it's time for them to throw their hat in the ring. weird. Mm-hmm. One last show. I think he loves booze. Aging 70s pop idol David Cassidy was arrested for DUI after making an illegal turn in L.A. over the weekend.
Yeah, what's new?
Yeah.
This is how many?
Yeah.
Arrest. All right. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got for entertainment news this week.
Okay. Well, Kardashian news. I'm still counting Chris Humphries under Kardashian news. Because once you're in, you're always in, baby.
Oh, boy.
He was sued, like, last year by some chick, whose name I don't care about, because he, like, gave her herpes.
Oh, jeez.
And this was actually, like, in the court system still.
Oh.
But new documents. Oh, she's not sure it's him because she had sex with so many guys.
Oh, God. There's something to be proud of.
So, anyhow, Humphries is pushing for the lawsuit to be dismissed because he claims he has medical records showing he does not have herpes. It wasn't from him. So he has the medical documents to prove it all.
I'm sure his parents are so proud of what he's become.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's Unmanned America's Drone Wars, a documentary.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, as always, we thank you guys for tuning in, for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, for following the news at DailyVerdict.com, and for listening to all our many podcasts at DVDVerdictPresents.com.
Oh, it's just so confusing. There's so
I know. I know. Just go to DVDVerdict. All the links are right there. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Here's the will to live or die. Here's good day, or here's goodbye.